80% of white evangelicals voted for Donald Trump. They like his conservative Supreme Court nominee, Judge Neil Gorsuch. But many expected him to roll back President Obama's executive orders protecting the LGBT community. He didn't. Will he be forgiven? Dr. Richard Land is a member of Trump's White House Faith Advisory Council. He says he believes in forgiveness. He lost his own radio shows after saying that President Obama used the Trayvon Martin shooting in Florida to gin up the black vote. Land later apologized. So what report card does he give Donald Trump? Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, welcome.
Thank you.
And you're quoted as saying after Trump won that God is welcome back to D.C. So how do you think President Trump is doing?
Pretty well. Not perfectly, of course, but better than most evangelicals and conservative Catholic Christians expected him to do. First of all, Judge Gorsuch, that was a huge factor, the understanding that the Supreme Court was in the balance and that if we lost the Scalia seat, that it would probably be a generation before we would have a working conservative majority of strict constructionist original intent jurists. And in reality, Judge Gorsuch, he's almost like a clone of Scalia without the attitude.
Without Scalia's attitude.
Yeah. I mean, Scalia was pretty feisty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gorsuch is sort of a WASP version of Scalia.
Okay. Well, there's that. But as you well know, you weren't always supportive of Donald Trump. But back in August, you wrote a statement to other evangelicals who were opposed to electing Donald Trump, candidate at that time. And you wrote, "Let me be as transparent as possible. I know several of the Republican presidential primary candidates personally, and they were all far preferable to Mr. Trump. Out of the 17, he was my 18th choice." So are you saying that, I mean, some might say, wait a second, a Supreme Court nominee is worth it for all the other things you obviously did not like about a candidate Trump?
Well, that was in relation to the other Republican presidential candidates. But, and I think I can say this with perfect confidence, probably 75% of that 80% of white evangelicals who voted for Mr. Trump saw themselves more as voting against Mrs. Clinton than voting for Mr. Trump. Mm. And so I knew that Mr. Trump was not going to do a lot of things we wanted him to do. First of all, he's not really a conservative.
That's what people will say in their criticism to you. They'll say, how can you support someone who's had several messy marriages and divorces, who talked about grabbing women's body parts in a crude and just violent way? How can you?
Well, as I said in that column that you quoted from, the 2016 presidential election, an excruciating choice. It was an excruciating choice. I still think that Mr. Trump was the lesser of two evils, and he is proving me right so far, putting back in place the Mexico City policy, which is not going to force taxpayers to pay for groups that promote abortion overseas and kill children in the second and third world.
And others would characterize it as a bill that is denying funds to aid groups that give much-needed health care, including abortions to women overseas. But I take your point. That's
for you. I don't think abortion is ever good unless it's a direct threat to the mother's physical life.
Well, these aid groups say they encounter that. But I take your point. That's a big victory for you. Where else is a big victory. Yeah, where else do you think
victories? Well, I mean, the cabinet is probably the most conservative cabinet since Calvin Coolidge. And I don't know any evangelicals who haven't been surprised at how consistently good it has been.
Well, so you're a big supporter of his cabinet nominees. And as you said, you feel God is welcome back in Washington. But, you know, not everyone feels that welcome. And not all evangelicals agree. What about the temporary ban on all refugees and the indefinite ban on Syrian refugees? Scores of evangelical leaders have taken out a full-page ad. As Christians, they write, we have an historic call over 2,000 years old to help the suffering. And I heard another evangelical say, you know, I'm pro-life, but that has to mean all life, including refugee life. So how do you square that?
Well, do these people lock the doors of their homes?
I have no idea.
My guess is they do so because your home is secure and you invite people into your home under the understanding that you think they're not going to do you harm. And when we have groups like ISIS who are saying they are going to use the refugee policy to infiltrate terrorists into the United States, we have a right to defend ourselves. And I would remind you that the seven nations that were specifically mentioned were seven nations that Mr. Obama said were particular breeding grounds for terror and should be dealt with differently. And Chuck Schumer voted for that bill in 2015. So let's leave the hypocrisy off for a while.
Well, I hear you. But do you worry about the message to your fellow faithful, to Muslims, especially since you in particular dropped out of a group that was supporting the right of Muslims to build mosques? Seems pretty simple. You said it's because while many Southern Baptists share your deep commitment to religious freedom and the right of Muslims to have places of worship, they also feel that a Southern Baptist denominational leader, meaning you, being part of a suit to allow individual mosques to be built is a bridge too far. Why not? Why not be the leader that stands up and says, of course we're going to support our fellow faithful?
We support them in having the right to have mosques. What Southern Baptist made clear to me, and I did work at that time for Southern Baptist, was they did not want our resources being used to help them do it, that they should contend for that themselves. I didn't necessarily agree with that position. Look, Muslims have a right to have mosques. We believe in religious freedom in this country, but we don't believe that our religious freedom allows people to advocate for and to use violent means to seek to overthrow our government. That's called treason.
What does that have to do with mosques? I'm sorry. Building mosques.
Well, we have radical Islamic terrorism, which is dedicated to killing Americans.
Well, but they're talking about building mosques.
That's what ISIS is doing.
I know, but they're talking about building mosques. And wouldn't that be like saying, you know what, at a certain time in this country, we're going to shut down every Christian church in this country because the KKK is working out of those churches.
This is why NPR gets a bad rep among some people, you know? That's not what I was saying. They have the right to have mosques. They do not have the right to foment rebellion in those mosques any more than white supremacists would have the right in a Christian church to try to advocate for violence against people that disagree with them. I'd say the same thing about a synagogue. I would say the same thing about a Hindu temple.
Do you worry about a slippery slope that someday it could be your faith?
Well, of course. I'm a Baptist. You know, when I was a child, the Jehovah's Witnesses would show up and the Mormons would show up just at dinner time. And I asked my mother, I said, you know, why can't the government do something to stop them from doing that? She said, well, honey, if they can stop the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons today, they can stop the Baptists tomorrow. And I agree with that. I agree with that. Absolutely.
I want to go further into the checklist. Are you disappointed that President Trump did not roll back President Obama's executive order that gave protection to the LGBT community? The New York Times reports that there was a draft executive order, but Ivanka Trump and her husband Jared Kushner intervened, and the draft executive order would have turned back some of these protections against the LGBT community. But the statement that did come out said, President Trump is determined to protect the rights of all Americans, including the LGBTQ community. He continues to be respectful and supportive of LGBTQ rights. Were you disappointed in that?
Not particularly, because I didn't expect him to do it. I'll be more disappointed if he doesn't come through with the executive order that protects people of faith from being discriminated against in the federal workforce if they have conscience issues with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community. And if he comes out with that executive order, then that's a pretty good balance, actually. You have protections in the federal workforce for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people as well.
Don't they collide? Because if the...
No, not necessarily. You could have both coexist together without denying rights to either one.
So the gay couple that wants to get married and wants the wedding cake and the baker doesn't want to make the cake on religious grounds, the gay couple goes to another place to get the cake.
Why force a Christian couple to bake the cake for a wedding ceremony? To try to use the government and weaponize the government to force them to violate their religious convictions seems to me to be mean-spirited and, frankly, un-American.
What about Donald Trump himself? He went to a famous New York church that's in the Reformed Church of America tradition. Full disclosure, that was my church tradition growing up. Very much influenced by Norman Vincent Peale, the power of positive thinking. But Dr. Peale's son has spoken out against Donald Trump. He says, we don't like Trump associating himself with our father, especially since it suggests that his father emphasized material success, and that was not the main characteristic of his ministry. Big time. What do you think about Donald Trump, the faithful man?
Well, my experience with Mr. Trump, which has not been that vast and deep, I think I have met him twice and been on the phone in a conference call a couple of times. is a deep variance with the Donald Trump that is revealed more than a decade ago on those Access Hollywood tapes. I think he's a different man now than he was then. And, of course, as a Christian, I believe in redemption and second chances and third chances and fourth chances.
Well, with that in mind, if there's a passage you'd recommend, do you want to share it and why to the president?
Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Wow, the light of the world. Big responsibility.
To whom much is given, much is asked. Yeah. And very few people in world history have ever been given more than Americans have been given just by the providence of being born here.
Dr. Land, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, a member of President Trump's White House Faith Advisory Board, thanks so much for taking some time with us. Thank you.
You bet.